to the Gains for Girls podcast. Today's guest is a guest I found through X, through social media. I saw the work he was doing, and honestly, I was so impressed. This is a true activist. We don't have a lot of activists on our side. We have a lot of people who complain, who take to social media to share their frustrations with what's going on in the world, but not a lot of people who are actually willing to do something about it. But this person is, he is the president of Courage is a Habit. I encourage everyone to go look up Courage is a Habit, follow it on social media, go to the website. His name is Alvin Louie. He is a political refugee from California. He moved to the Midwest only to find that these same ideologies that ruined his old home are now spreading across the country. Again, Courage is a Habit. It is an organization that creates actionable tools and strategies for the average parent and legislator even to take action in defending children from indoctrination, for lack of a better word. Could not be more excited to talk to him. We're going to get his take on WPATH, which has taken social media by a storm over the past few weeks. So check out the interview with Alvin Louie. Well, Alvin, welcome to the show. I feel like I only know you as Courage is a Habit based off of your social media name and the platform that you've been able to build now. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got here.
Absolutely. Well, Courage is a Habit is a hell of a lot more important than Alvin Louie. I'll tell you that. the people I work with, the team that I work with, and the things that we put out, it's all them. I love taking the arrow so that way they can do the work. But Courage is a Habit. It's an organization that produces products, strategies, tools for the average parent and the average legislators, because in the K-12, in the education world, it's very convoluted. It's convoluted on purpose. And so our tools distill things down to an easy, understandable tool that parents can consume very quickly. But more importantly, we give parents call to actions, because we believe that if you create outrage without outlet, it just creates hopelessness. And that's what happens to a lot of people, and not just in education, but in general in America and Americans, they go, what do you want me to do about it? So that's one side of what we do. The other side of what we do is we expose the psychological gambits and the brainwashing that parents go through. We talk about children being brainwashed, but really the parents get brainwashed first. So the other side of Courage is a Habit is we produce strategies and tools for parents to de-brainwash them, because we believe that if you can de-brainwash parents and take away some of the stuff we'll talk about today, they will naturally know how to fight for their kids.
Of course. Yeah, it seems as if it should be an instinct that, granted, I'm not a parent myself, but any parent, I know my parents, right? I know it's sure. An instinct my parents had. How did this start for you? When did you feel it necessary to really get involved?
Well, my great-grandfather ran from communism, escaped communism when he was an older man. And you know, when you run from communism, you bring nothing with you. And he didn't even, you know, he tried to bring his sons, my grandfather and my dad. When he got here, he didn't even know if they made it or not, because he passed away before anybody, you know, got here. And so my family is not, we understand what happens when something like this takes over. Now, of course, we never thought that we would find ourselves in the same position. And so, you know, I'm originally from California, and I moved my family from California to Indiana. And because I didn't want to raise children in California for a lot of obvious reasons. But when I got to Indiana, I saw a lot of the same seeds that destroyed my old home in Indiana, and it started in the education. And so it was like going back in time 20 years and seeing the same reactions from people going, it can't happen here, it's not that bad, it's just fear mongering. And so that's when it kind of really dawned on me that America really is the last place for people to escape things like communism and Marxism. And nobody's escaping on a boat in the middle of the night to go to Cuba. And, you know, my great-grandfather came here and gave us an opportunity to live the life we have in America. But there's nowhere else for my children or anyone else's children to go once America falls. And that was really, I thought, you know, I have to at least try. And that's what Courage is a Habit is about. It's not about us fighting for anybody. It's about reminding Americans that they have that to make courage a habit. We can beat anything. But today I see that we've made fear a habit. And that's the problem. And now it relies on people like you who should be enjoying her life and doing other things. But now you have to stand in front of everybody with bullet for everyone because they've made fear a habit.
Well, I think it's incredible what you've been able to do. You popped up on my social media pages like a couple times and I'd gone through your stuff. But really when I think I first actually saw all that you were doing, it was in regard to a bill out of Maine. Mm-hmm. I think it was LD 1735 or something at the time.
That's impressive of everything
I know,
you saw.
Right?
Right.
I know.
Impressive.
Well, hey, you know how it is tracking these bills. You spend a lot of time on them, so I totally understand.
That's right.
But this bill, you phrased it in a way that I had never seen anyone call something like this. And you called it a transgender trafficking bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give you the opportunity to share what this bill out of Maine was doing when I first, I guess, got connected with you, and really how this isn't only happening in just Maine. It's really across the nation.
It is across the nation. So the transgender trafficking bill, it's literally what that is. This transgender trafficking is taking a social contagion and using that as excuse to move children across state lines. So let me just give you an example. So let's say Tennessee. They ban the surgeries and drugs for anybody under 18. If a child, because they've already, they already have that social, the transgender social contagion from schools, they get it from schools and social media, but they mainly get it from schools. They will say, I'm going to die if I don't get this drugs. I'm going to die if I don't get the surgery. What the transgender trafficking bill out of Maine and in other states, what they say is that you, little girl, you can come over to Maine, cross state lines, leave Tennessee. And if your parents come looking for you, we will not reunite you. That's exactly what it is. Because parents are now unsafe and abusive, and we will put you in foster care and we will use taxpayer money to get you these drugs and surgeries. That is the bill. Any adult can take a child over to Maine. If that bill, if we didn't beat the bill, and we did, but if we hadn't beat it, then they can go over to Maine. And any parent can do, any adult can take it, take the child. Also, it will not
honor custody. It doesn't even have to be a legal guardian. Any adult.
No. Any adult.
Oh my gosh.
Any adult. And if the parents come looking for the child, they have to prove that they will be supportive of the transgender contagion and getting the drugs and the surgeries. It will not honor custody agreements. So let's say if John and Mary got divorced and John has full custody of their daughter and Mary doesn't, Mary can take their little girl over to Maine and get these procedures. And if John goes to say, hey, I have full custody, this is kidnapping, they will not honor that. Now, people will ask, of course, a lot of your listeners are very smart, so they'll ask, this can't be constitutional. You're right, it's not, but that's not the point. The point is that by the time it gets through the lawsuits and the Supreme Court, it'll be years, and it doesn't matter, the damage is done. The damage is already done to generations of kids. So it doesn't matter if it's not constitutional, it just matters that it's happening to children. So that's what a transgender trafficking bill is. And 15 states currently, now we beat it in Maine. We handed them a 12-0 loss because of the amount of pressure that we brought onto the committee, and they weren't used to it. But currently, 15 states have some sort of transgender trafficking bill. Technically speaking, 12 states have bills that are actually signed, done by the governor, already done, passed, and 3 states did it by executive order.
Wow. What do you know off the top of your head which 3 states that is?
I think it was New Jersey, Arizona, and then the other one, I can't remember, but I will have the link on your show notes.
Please. Yeah, that's wild. I don't think people realize, again, that this is happening. We saw a case out of Montana, was it? That got pretty big national attention, this exact scenario, as you almost just exactly described, happened, and the parents could do nothing about it.
What's interesting about that scenario is that they banned, it got held up in their court, but they were supposed to pass a bill that's still held up right now, I believe, that bans the surgeries and drugs for minors. And then they took the daughter to another state that had one, I think Wyoming or something like that. It was one of the states, I can't remember, that had one of the transgender trafficking bills. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow. So Maine now. Mm-hmm. We talked offline, and I, again, following your social media pages and seeing what they're doing now, you're right. Mm-hmm. We brought a ton of public pressure, which I will be the first to say I've seen it time and time and time again. Public pressure works. Public outrage works. These people cave when their feet are being held to the fire. So it's our job as everyday people, as parents, as students, as coaches, as medical professionals, it is our job to call out their hypocrisy and their really the lunacy behind it all. So that was successful in Maine at first, but now walk us through kind of what they're doing really in secrecy, what they're trying to do behind closed doors to get this done.
That's exactly right. And by the way, the behind closed doors, that's a great segment to school counselors. So we'll come right back to that. That's wonderful. So when you're talking about the transgender cult, there's no such thing as winning. There's no winning until the entire cult's completely fallen apart, until it's just done, gone, out of, done. No remnants of it. Because their entire mission is to transition kids and pull them away from parents. That's it. That's their mission. So think of them as missionaries, and your kids are their disciples that they're trying to get. So there is no winning. Now, when all the parents, and like you said, from all across the country helped us beat them 12-0, it was a great win because we wanted to show the American people that you individually can make a difference. Because we face a lot of things that we can't, but there's a lot of things that we can. And I think we waste a lot of time focusing on the things that we can't, but there's a lot of things that we can do. And that was a great win. And I was so happy to give that to everybody that supported us, supported you and everybody else. But internally, we knew that they were never just going to let that lie. And so the strategy is that when they take a loss like this, they always try to get the elements of a bill. They either break it up into two or three other bills, or they're trying to piggyback it on another bill. But when you win, one of the weaknesses of regular people or the conservative side is that they're very naive in that once they win, they go, we're done. And then they look away. It's the looking away that they want you to do. Now, we didn't look away because we know our enemies.
You know.
And so late last week, they introduced the same elements of the transgender trafficking bill, which was originally LD 1735. But forget that number. The number I want you guys to all remember now is LD 227. LD 227 is them taking the transgender trafficking bill and piggybacking it on an abortion bill. I kid you not, that's what it is. However, and I'm gonna say this, and I've never said this, and I never thought I would say this, I have never seen a bill nastier than this. It's shocking for me to be able to say from California, because everybody always says, oh, this is like California. I'm like, you don't know California unless you lived in California. Nothing's worse than California. There's nothing you can pass that California haven't already done years ago. I'm telling you, amazingly, today, in March 2024, I finally am able to say that a state's passed a bill nastier than anything I've seen out of California. That's saying a lot. So this is what the new bill is. We're calling this bill the Transgender Trafficker Protection Act. That's what it is. It's a Transgender Trafficker Protection Act. It takes everything that the original transgender trafficking bill is, everything I said earlier about, you know, kids crossing state line, not honoring custody agreements, but they've added layers of protection for the traffickers. So if you bring an adult, it could be an aunt, it could be just a random adult, brings a child over to Maine and all these transgender procedures or abortions, they're protected. You can't press legal action. You can't call law enforcement. You can't call anybody. They will protect the trafficker. The parents have no recourse. That's a protection once you cross into Maine. But I'm not done. Then they've added punishment for parents that bring legal action for malpractice. So like all the detransitioners, there's several of them that brought suits. Some of them are obviously our friends and your friends. And they're basically intimidating and making it so that new detransitioners cannot file suit in Maine. So for example, Chloe, you know, she's done, you know, amazing work, Lila Jane. If the next Lila Jane, they can't, and they're in Maine and they're trying to sue for malpractice and say, hey, they told us that they're going to kill themselves and now they're regretting the surgeries and things. You didn't inform them what it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the malpractice is, they are now putting all these layers of protection for the doctors. And if you do sue and you lose, there's all these penalties. And the way the bill is, they label them hostile litigators. Literally, that's the bill, hostile litigators. And then the last point I'll say about the bill.
PIDs are hostile litigators.
Hostile litigators, Riley, hostile litigators. In the bill, the word, I mean, it's incapacitated shows up 6 times, meaning that if they bring a minor, even if a person who's incapacitated, meaning they're drugged, that's you're incapacitated, it's okay. They will still give them these procedures as long as the adult brings them. Literally, the word incapacitated shows up 6 times in this bill. Everybody listening to me will think I've made this up. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. I've never seen a bill this nasty. And this is all the offshoot from the transgender cult that starts in K-12. And it's the stuff you've been fighting, of course, you know, at the collegiate level and at the sports level, but it all starts at K-12.
Oh my gosh. Who writes a bill like this, Alvin?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Riley. I'm glad you asked, because it is 8 woke white women who wrote this bill, who's on the committee, and we'll put the link there on your show notes so you can feast on their face as to who would support something like this. Shocker.
I don't know if we want to feast on their face. That's not definitely not what I want to do. But again, we could have all guessed. We could have all guessed. We could have predicted. I mean, I would say 9 out of 10 people would have guessed that it is white women, our own worst enemy,
insufferable white women. If I said, okay, now, the committee could be made up of Indian women, South African women, Korean women, or woke white women. Which one do you think, if you had to guess, is on the committee?
And of course. So,
but now here's the good news. Here's the good news. I don't want to just, I brought a lot of bad news here. The good news is we're going to kick their ass again. And we can do it with everybody's help. So again, it'll be on the link beyond the show notes. But this is super easy. It's courageisahabit.org. courageisahabit.org/#LD227, or just go to courageisahabit.org and it'll be the first graphic right there. You click on it, and it's a form that has all their emails preloaded. It has a sample email. We do ask that you write 2 or 3 custom sentence, your own words sentence, but it's an email that's already a sample email, and you can let them hear about it, and that will help us beat this bill again.
And like we said, pressure works. It worked last time in Maine. It worked in South Carolina recently in regard to a bill that would criminalize medical professionals who administer these hormones and perform these surgeries. Yep. 63 House Republicans voted to kill the bill. And then 2 hours later, after they got a ton of public pressure because of social media and because of the people, the power is the people's, they all, 63 of them, changed their vote. So it's our job. Again, we have to do it. So that's awesome. We'll put some draft responses up too, because I know sometimes it can be hard to formulate your thought perfectly, but it's necessary, it's urgent, and it's our duty as everyday Americans. So again, this is happening across the nation. We see a lot of the gender affirming care. I hate that verbiage for minors. Yep. We see a lot of the sports bill, but this transgender trafficking bill. That's, I think, a newer one that hasn't gotten the same amount of attention, but just as awful, just as horrible. So people pay attention.
Come it's on, a logical conclusion to the things that you're fighting. You're talking about men in women's sports, men in locker rooms. The next, is this a logical thing? If you think that this is life-saving and children are going to die, you got to pass a bill to get them away from their parents. That's the whole, that's why they're keeping secrets from schools in schools and school counselors, mostly in K-12. It's the school counselors that are pushing this. They're the one who set the tone about saying parents are abusive and unsafe because they're not using the pronouns. They're not giving the binders. They're not giving the penis tucking. They're not giving the puberty blockers. So we saw this coming because we deal with the origins of that argument. And that came from school counselors in K-12. So by the time these transgender trafficking bills came, we knew exactly where their arguments is and where the weaknesses are, because we've been dealing with it at the K-12. To the rest of the country, this is very new, but to us it's not, because that's what they've been telling parents for quite some time now in K-12.
So yeah, make no mistake. This, of course, is about the safeguarding of children, but this is an attack on parental rights, without a doubt. So that's huge. Speaking of the K through 12 arena here, indicating how this really is starting when these kids are the most impressionable and the most vulnerable, what can parents do? I know you have a ton of resources provided for parents. You mentioned previously, like, ways that we can fight this. I want you to be able to plug your website again, just so parents are inclined to go look, because again, it is important, even in states where you don't think this is happening. That would be your first mistake, because is those states are actually, as you said, the most susceptible to allow this lunacy to infiltrate in.
They are. So when it comes to K through 12, it doesn't matter if you live in a red or blue state. And I want to say this very, very clearly. It doesn't matter if you live in a red county. It doesn't matter if you live in a red state. Keeping secrets from parents is happening in all states. And here's why. All school counselors get their mission objectives and their standards of care and their policies from an organization called the American School Counselor Association. The American School Counselor Association is the biggest purveyor of the transgender cult. The reason why they're dangerous is because they work with children and their mental health, and they work with children one-on-one, and they drive the culture of a school, the pronoun enforcement, keeping secrets from parents. It all comes from them. So it doesn't matter if your state has bills, laws, we ban this, we ban that. The counselors are doing it. In the states that have laws against it, it's a little easier to sue them when it happens, but it doesn't prevent the fact that they are doing it because, like I said earlier, they're missionaries. There are no bills going to stop them. They're dedicated. They want to make
it. They really think what they're doing is right. These people are just deceived as, and honestly, I think, you know, we talk a lot about, especially my generation, younger people being deceived. It is the deceivers who are more dangerous than the deceived. I actually probably flip-flop, because the deceived, they don't know right from wrong anymore.
Right.
They actually think what they're doing is right, which is just crazy. I wanted to get your perspective on the WPATH leaks. Of course, WPATH is the World Professional Association of Transgender Health. This is what hospitals and medical staff hold as the gold standard for these trans procedures and what they call care. And it's got everyone in a stir on social media. I even saw J.K. Rowling tweeted said that it's beyond doubt that surgeries and drugs of unproven benefit are being given to those who cannot give informed consent. And she even went as far to say, like, if you're still cheering this on, you are complicit. So I wanted to ask you, you know, can you kind of break this leak down for everyone and what it really means?
Happy to do it. And it's great that you're talking about the schools. So what parents can do, and this ties right into that WPATH leak, if you go to courageisahabit.org and click on school counselors, it is a campaign that we created called Behind Closed Doors, which is a great setup from you. It shows you exactly who the school counselors are, but no matter which one of those items under courageisahabit.org, you click on school counselors, no matter which one you click on, at the end is an opt-out form. I want every single parent that's listening to your wonderful show to fill out that form and turn it into your school on Monday. Make sure that your children have no access to any mental health professionals. So that's the first thing. Get your kids away from these counselors, because you didn't vet them, you didn't review them, you didn't get referrals. There's zero reasons why, and there's zero benefits. When you take a child to a swim class, you vet that or that teacher in that organization. So fill that out. That's what every parent listening to the show can do. Every parent, Monday. Turn that opt-out form. So the WPATH, let's bring it down to what parents, why is it important to parents? When it comes to the school counselors and they talk about, oh, children are going to commit suicide. They're going to commit suicide. They quote mostly from the Trevor Project. Okay. It's a nasty transgender cult organization, but the Trevor Project gets every single one of their recommendation from the WPATH. So now that the WPATH has been exposed as a fraud and that internally the documents basically show these doctors and these people laughing and joking and being flippant and saying, yeah, we know this is kind of dangerous, but oh well. When you see that, you know this is pseudoscience. It's not based on anything. WPATH internally knows it, but they continue pushing it. The Trevor Project takes all that, all the stuff that WPATH said and said they're going to kill themselves if you don't let them have this. And literally, that's the entire foundation for schools keeping secrets from parents. So I want every parent to go to that WPATH exposure, and I'm sure you guys will link that in your show notes.
You've got a great graphic we'll show.
Okay, there you go. Do that too. We made that graphic just for you. And so you take a piece of that. It's a huge leak, but take a piece of it, go to your principal and superintendent and school board and school counselors and go, you guys quote Trevor Project, they say, if we don't do this, kids are going to kill themselves. They take their entire guidance from WPATH. Now what? That's what I want every parent to do.
And they won't know what to do. They won't know how to respond to this. Are you kidding me?
They won't. So you put them in the position in writing to say, we still go by Trevor Project and they go by the WPATH and we stand by it, but despite the leaks. You got to get them on, just write them an email and say, I met with you today. I showed you these files. You quote ASCA. They quote the Trevor Project, and the Trevor Project based everything on WPATH. I met with you today. I showed you these files. It's fraudulent. It's a lie. And you claim you're still going to keep the transgender policy to keep secrets from parents. Get that in writing.
Yeah. Because
when it all falls apart, you're going to come back to that email.
Exactly. Yeah, that's huge. And yeah, these leaks, if you haven't seen the leaks and the files, I encourage everyone to go look at them, because it really, it tells us what we already knew. Honestly, it's doesn't seem as if it's anything groundbreaking or pivotal to us people who were pretty easily able to call this what it is, which is fraudulent and the biggest medical malpractice in history. But for the everyday person, or for people who have actually bought in to this idea of gender affirming care, it is riveting. So I encourage everyone to go look at these files.
100%, 100%. But that's how you can weaponize something like this to protect your kids. That's absolutely how you use it and leverage it, because it's these big things. A lot of people go, my God, but you can't tie it to the real life, but that's how you tie it to your real life. And of that's course. How it works. That's how schools justify keeping secrets from you.
Can you highlight the importance of language, or as you describe it, language contamination? Because I've mentioned several times on this show just how important language is and the words that we use. But I want to get your perspective on this.
Sure. So the core power to all this indoctrinate, the same thing. It's just a way to get to the communism at the end of the day anyway. It's language contamination. So here's the easiest way. I'll give you a phrase that everybody can remember, and then I'll give you an example. Language contamination is they use your vocabulary, but not your dictionary. They use your vocabulary, but not your dictionary. I'll give you two examples. One, it's just have nothing to do with politics, and the other one is right into schools. So let's say the two of us go, hey, we're going to go and meet for coffee. Okay, have a meeting for coffee. And then you go, okay, you're like, Alvin, why don't you meet me in this corner here and I'm going to pick you up. I'll be like, great. And then you'll go, I'm driving a red sedan. I said, okay. So then you call me and you go, hey, I'm right here. Come on over. And I'll be like, I don't see a red sedan. You go, I'm right here. Just look over to your right. And I look over and it's a blue truck. I'd be like, I thought you're going to drive a red sedan. This is a blue truck. And you go, no, this is a red sedan. I was like, this is a blue truck. Are you crazy? And you go, no, to me, this is a red sedan. Imagine if you did that and everyone did that. It would be chaos. We wouldn't understand each other. You're using my vocabulary, but not my dictionary. That's what they're doing to children in schools 7 hours a day for 5 days a week for 13 years. It's all this language contamination. All this is just about empathy. So when they tell parents, so the second example, when they tell parents, we're just teaching empathy. That's all it is. Social emotional learning is just about teaching empathy. What you and I think of empathy is like, oh, you teach the kids to, you know, think of yourself before someone else, put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if this happened to you? That's what we mean by empathy. What they mean by empathy is, hey, we're going to work these children from kindergarten on. By the time they're 13, 14, 15, if a man walks into a bathroom, instead of you getting that reaction that girls should, You have to have empathy for him. How would you like it if someone kicked you out of the bathroom? How would you like it if someone pointed at you and said, you don't belong here? How would you feel? The empathy goes towards the mentally ill man. And now when I give this example, when I do speeches, parents go, no, that's horrifying. That's not what I mean. Right. Because they use your vocabulary, not your dictionary. Everything that Americans are facing today starts with language contamination. And wow. If you can understand that, if you can understand that everything that they tell you is through that lens of language contamination, you won't fall for it. Whether it be open borders, vaccines, name it, name your problem. It starts with language contamination. And if you really think about it, that's how it starts. That's why people go, I don't understand. There's a disconnect. That disconnect is what they want you to have so that you can't fight it because you don't know where to point with your efforts. But if you can understand language contamination, that's your first sign of not being fooled again. The second thing that they do is they weaponize your kindness. And those things go hand in hand. Don't you want kids to feel empathy? Don't you want kids to learn empathy? That's your kindness. And then they throw in language contamination. So the parents, they can't see it. They don't, it's like fighting a ghost. But if you can understand that most of it is leveraging your kindness and then language contamination, you're gonna be a lot further ahead in this fight.
You're right about this infiltrating, I guess, beyond just this movement. To your point about the border, we've seen the Biden administration and Secretary Mayorkas say now newcomers, which sounds newcomers. So pleasant. It sounds so welcoming and yeah. You know, it makes us this really homey country. Everyone's welcome. It sounds like a super positive thing, but you're exactly right. Like, that is.
It is a newcomer. It's like, oh, you know what? Someone's just visiting out of town. This is a newcomer. You know, it's like,
don't mind welcome to our the drugs in the process and his gangs and the violent stuff going on behind the scenes. Don't mind that. He's a newcomer.
Or the dreamers. Why did Obama call it the Dreamer Act? They're just dreaming. Don't you love dreamers? What's the matter? Don't you want people to dream like you? That's your weaponizing kindness. Don't you want people to have a better life?
Of course.
You want people to have a better life?
Crazy.
So that's weaponizing your kindness. And so my recommendation, and again, this is a very specific recommendation for the times that we're in, because you can't apply this to interpersonal relationships. If you try to apply it to your kids, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your parents, this is going to destroy your relationships. And this tool no one talks about, and this is what we try to teach parents, is indifference. Don't hate, don't support, don't love, don't indifference. Indifference. Because when you're indifferent, no one can manipulate you. Again, terrible for a interpersonal relationship because you can't be indifferent to the people in your life. If they say, yeah, you hurt my feelings. If they say, hey, you did this and hurt my feelings. Of course, you can't be indifferent. But when you're dealing with this ideology, the critical race theory losers, the transgender child mutilation advocates, the people who are pushing transgender trafficking bills, those people will try to weaponize your kindness. They'll talk about slavery. They'll talk about kids killing themselves. They'll talk about all these things to soften you. You have to go, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to protect my children. You're not, I don't care what you say. I don't care if someone has a plight. I don't care if this happened in the past. I don't care about anybody's plight. I don't care. And that's indifference. It's not hate. It's not support. And in this country, we've made people believe they have to either support something or be against it. We give them the two binary, and that's not true. There's a third option. I don't care.
Amazing. It's very true. Yeah, everything's become black or white. Very polarized nation that we live in, more so than ever. So I could not agree more. I think indifference, that's a great way
That's how you destroy the weaponizing your empathy and your kindness. You say, I don't care.
Yeah.
Once you say that, you know, I always say, once you say that, it's like someone playing tennis by themselves. They can hit the ball, but the ball ain't coming back.
Yeah.
And so no, it destroys that weaponizing kindness is indifference. It's not hate. Because even hate is, now they're like, look at them. They're a bigot. They're a white supremacist. They're all those things. But when you go, I don't care.
Yeah.
When it's indifferent, there's nothing. And people who've been in like really abusive relationships can tell you that a lot of people in abusive relationships is because they keep caring. The moment you go, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah.
If I leave, if you leave, I'm going to do this to myself. I'm going to do this and this and this. And if you go, I don't care. That's your problem.
Yeah.
All the narcissists, all the manipulation, the narcissism, the gaslighting, all that goes away like that when you're indifferent.
Yeah. And to your point about the language stuff too, if we're willing to deny man and woman, there are no limits. There's no limits to what we'll be asked to deny next. So just looking, I guess, futuristically, it's a pretty chilling thought, honestly. Again, the most basic of truths. The people leading this country are telling us that's not the case. So I guess to understanding it's a limitless position that our leaders are in if we're willing to adhere to this.
Well, the end goal there is the pedophilia. Because once you can say children can choose their own sex and man and woman doesn't matter, then it's, and that they're happening now. It's not like it's going to happen. It's here where they'll say then a child can have sex with an adult because the adult could identify as someone younger. The child can identify as someone older. That's what happens when you break reality and when you get people to agree to something that everybody knows deep down inside that's not true. But because of the making fear a habit, you know, we talked about that a little bit, you know, before. When you make fear a habit, your kindness gets weaponized against you very easily.
So, no, I totally agree with the push to normalize pedophilia. Whether it's this video of these kids sucking on toes, how crazy is that? Now I've seen multiple videos of this. Whether it's men breastfeeding, whether it's we've had this Democrat in Kentucky who came out and said, you know, well, these minor attracted persons. And then came out the next day after, again, public attention and people were on her. She said, look, you know, we should as adults be able to have open conversations about this.
Yeah.
There is no open conversations about pedophiles anywhere. Actually, we should not be having open conversations. Maybe yeah, like your chair or life in prison, but that's really the only open conversation we should be having.
That's the only conversation. Yeah.
So,
and the toe licking and the armpit licking is in Oklahoma. Again, doesn't matter if it's red or blue state. That's Oklahoma. If people haven't seen it, some of the people who are hearing this may not have seen it. But yeah, it's videos from Oklahoma where there were kids or students were licking the toes and licking the armpits of adults. You cannot believe today what K-12 has become.
No,
that's what it is. And so, you know, that's in Oklahoma. So it doesn't matter if it's red or blue state. This rot in education brought in through social emotional learning. Critical race theory. It's really about destroying children's minds and priming them for creating the new Red Guard, the Mao's new Red Guard. That's really what it is. And that's the goal. People always ask us, what's the end game? What's the goal here? The goal is to separate the children from the parents and create revolutionists out of them to come and dismantle America. And we're seeing it. It's not coming. They already dismantled the system. We've already seen it. They dismantled sports. They dismantled the government, law, organizations. 100-year-old, 300-year-old institutions. It's all dismantled because of the weaponization of children.
Well, how can we support you in your work? I want you to be able to plug Courage is a Habit one more time. Tell us your socials so we can follow along how we can support you.
Beautiful. Thank you. First of all, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and what you've been doing is amazing. And so we're happy to lend a hand here. So the best way to support us is, first of all, share our tools at courageisahabit.org. Those tools are made for you, the average parent, the parents that don't have 2 hours a week to even look at this stuff, is to try to get it down to you. It's not made for people like Riley and I. It's made for people like you, who have families and hobbies and people to take care of and a life and business and raising children. It's made for you to take action so you can protect your kids and stay on offense. So that's the first thing. Our socials are Courage Habit, at Courage Habit. That's on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and on X, of course. And so follow us there. We try to put out a lot of things. We try to use a lot of these people as examples to show you how to fight. And we're a nonprofit and we're trying to expand our team. Right now, my biggest issue is that there are more states than I can care to get to because we can't be in more than a couple places at once. And so we're trying to expand our team. So literally every dollar that you donate to us and help support our mission, it goes right back into our fight. And most importantly, to expand our team so that we can push the Courage as a Habit model everywhere and teach parents how to fight.
Amazing. Well, I'm so grateful for what you're doing. Truly, it's remarkable to have people who are not just complaining about it, actually doing something and helping others do something. So could not be more grateful and appreciative of you and your work.
I appreciate you, and I'm sure that we'll be working together on a couple of things. And oh, and by the way, oh, one last thing, of course, LD227, please, courageishabit.org/pound, LD227, or just courageishabit.org. Click that first graphic there, depending on when you're watching this, and fill out that form. Let them hear it. Your voice counts. I promise you, your voice counts. We've proven that over and over again, like Riley said, in other states. So let them hear your disgust. Don't just complain. Actually do something. And we've given you a very easy, it'll take you 2 minutes to put your message in and let these eight insufferable woke white women hear your disgust on this bill.
Public pressure works, people. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alvin. Could not be more grateful for you.
Thank you, Riley. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Gains for Girls podcast. Again, make sure you go to courageishabit.com. Make sure you are emailing and reaching out to not only your representatives, but this bill in Maine, LD 227, which is criminal, unconstitutional, what should be called illegal. Public pressure works. It worked last time. Make sure you are reaching out. It is necessary. It is our job. It is our duty as everyday people. We have the power. It's our rights to exercise the power. And we should be doing those things. Thanks for joining. Make sure you like and comment and subscribe anywhere where you get your podcasts. Make sure you check out the tools at courageishabit.com. And we will see you again next week.